right, welcome everybody. It is the exciting time. We left 2020 in the dust. It is 2021, and we are here to bring you the first annual, hopefully, Daddy Awards. We are live with Ricky Two Belts.
Ah, yeah, Ricky Two Belts. Would you say first? I hope you mean as in first annual, as in we're doing it again, and not first and only.
Yes, hopefully.
Because I'm not going to be your first and only double champ. This is two times now. Two times, baby.
We're having too much fun here.
Too much.
I'm too legit.
Hi!
We are live with the provincial champion, T.Y. Jackson.
Hola.
And Blake something or other.
Sorry. Why, hello there, you leeches of joy. You detriments to my quality of life and you destroyers of happiness. I am not happy to be here and I hate you all.
Coming to you live from your parents' basement, it is Blake Cannon.
So how long into the show is it before we start getting the Blake shut the fuck up texts?
I have no idea.
I'll text him right now.
Don't text me.
So, I don't have the award sheet in front of us. Who wants to steer this Titanic into the ice
and get this going? I am the most prepared for once for this podcast. I am, for those of you who don't get this visually, who download this later sometime in the future, your double champ takes care of you. He wants to be as presentable as possible. I'm suited up. I'm looking nice. It's an awards show. No, you don't get to interrupt me.
I thought you were going, this double champion takes care of his body while grabbing the Coke. And
that's a lie. We all know it. It's fine. I'm some people's worst nightmare, and I can live with that.
Speaking of the entire point of this goddamn episode, have any of us actually mentioned what we're doing here today yet?
I mean, the Dadbot Squad Twitter has been posting about it all day.
Yes.
I don't know who's doing that.
So,
I mean, since we started this episode.
Oh, okay. We're going to do is we're going to have a lot of polls going on. My moderator is working double time here. I think I owe him a pizza or something.
Tell him he's got a twisted tea in the mail.
Yeah. Or a thank you.
Twisted tea in the mail. I just won't deliver it by hand because that ends poorly for everyone.
So we are going to have a whole bunch of categories. They were all posted on the DadBotSquad_pod Twitter.
A chunk of them anyway. I don't think we got to them all.
We are going to we're going to give our nominations. And in lieu of hot takes, you're going to decide who the winners are. This is somewhat kind of people's choice, fans' choice. But we kind of give you options so it just doesn't go wild. With that said,
I do not want you all involved.
The person with the most nominated winners will get that hot takes title on Rick Jewell's left shoulder.
That is definitely not the NXT North American Championship.
No,
definitely not. We've established this.
100% not.
What's in NXT?
Yeah, what is? Well,
what is a North America?
Does North America even exist?
Nah, it's just America.
It's all a construct.
All right, construct. No conspiracy theories. All right, let's yeah. Let's start this.
It's all a construct. It's a man-made construct, just like time.
All right, so what are we kicking it off with here?
Do we want to kick it off in the order we presented it, or like because we got?
It might as well.
No, in completely random order.
Just a completely random order.
Because we've got a list. Okay. Forget about one of them.
No. Okay. So I've got them all right in front of me because, again, I'm prepared. I have all my winners. I have all of everything. It's ready to go. You're just gonna. I have a feeling some of you are just pulling winners off the top of your head.
Oh yeah, they're all right here. They're all right in the memory bank here.
He's gonna think. Okay, let's start off. We are the least professional wrestling podcast, so we're going to try to like stay as close to wrestling as possible tonight. I make no promises. First up, what is everybody's, since I'm hosting apparently, everybody's match of the year? I'm going to start, for me, below me is T.Y. Jackson. What was your 2020 match of the year?
My 2020 match of the year. I'm going to say Roman Reigns versus Jey Uso. In Hell in a Cell.
Ooh,
that's
solid.
I think that's up there for me. 2020.
That was a great match. That was a great match, not gonna lie, but it was nothing compared to my match of the year. And my match of the year was Sex Ferguson versus Chad Too Bad. Ball for a ball.
Ball for a ball.
I'm talking Shop of Mania 2.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Mine is from WrestleMania, Undertaker versus AJ Styles, the Boneyard match. I expected nothing and was delivered tremendous work.
My favorite part of that is Crowder might double down on that because there's also a best cinematic match category.
Yeah. Spoilers.
Are we actually doing that?
Yeah. All right. For me, out of like I was thinking like long and hard, and I had a couple contenders rise to the top, but for me, it was the Cody and Brody Lee dog collar match with Dynamite. Yeah. It was the right amount of like hard hitting, the right amount of storytelling, just everything blended so perfectly. Even Brody Lee going to like fuck around with Leva Bates in the middle of the match, like just it touched on everything I love in pro wrestling. So for me, yeah, Cody, Brody Lee, dog collar, TNT title.
And then like that was a good one because then it all tied in with being the elite at the end, where that was when John Silver finally got like Brody Lee's respect. Yeah, he was like the only one out there with him.
Yeah, so they tied it all together just beautifully. Like it was good stuff.
All right.
We haven't gone off the rails yet.
Not yet. I mean, we're like 5 minutes into the podcast, so.
Yeah, that's
we're
going
to have to change that at some point. Has anyone listened to Alex Jones lately?
Who has got... All right, we're going to go in the opposite direction. I guess Blake's always like piggy in the middle here. Who is everybody's 2020 tag team of the year? PJC?
I am going to go with the Street Profits.
Fuck you.
They always had top quality matches, always held the titles, and they're the good, new, young, awesome tag team.
And they got that big win over the New Day, too, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, I was going to say Street Profits, too.
Well, we'll double back if you've got another answer, because I'll pass it off to TY.
Yeah. Yeah,
unless he also...
TY. Yeah, I was going to say Street Profits as well. So.
All right, well, everybody else considers it. Nothing about this should surprise anyone because my tag team of the year is the Walking Weapon, Josh Alexander, and All Ego, Ethan Page, the North.
And just like we were discussing off stream, we are able to double down on picks for tag teams if so desired.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I don't know. They had an outstanding... end of 2019 all the way until 2020, even recently going into this breakup angle. They were having killer matches with killer tag teams. And the only reason for me they edge out the Street Profits is I feel like they had a broader spectrum of tag teams to work with and were always putting on quality matches with a bigger pool to work with. And Val approves. I knew I had a feeling that was coming.
I have a great one too now. I have... My runner-up tag team, they were an iconic tag team this year, and they really set the bar for tag team wrestling. And that is, I'm already laughing. I already broke.
I swear to God, if you say retribution here.
No. Although that's a good idea.
I know where he's going with this.
I was going to say Rory Fox and Rimjob.
There we go.
I feel like all of Blake's picks are just from Talking Chopa Mania 1 and 2.
The only show Blake watched this year was Talking Chopa Mania.
Crowder and I watched more wrestling than Blake this year.
Yeah. TY, going with Street Profits?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Street Profits.
You and Crowder are going to hold the fort there on Street.
Yeah.
For me, it was almost Street Profits. Like they're on my list.
I'm pretty sure they were tag champs like all throughout 2020 were
on both brands too. Yeah.
Mind you, they like the Raw tag team title ended, but it was still got like they immediately got the SmackDown.
Yeah, just lost the tag titles on SmackDown, but
yeah,
they've been holding titles for like all year.
Right, and like New Day is always great, so I mean they're always like a contender in that list, but it wasn't the breakup with Big E. Like, it just wasn't their year. Now they're kind of, like, trying to find their own, they're all foot, their footing separate from each other. And I don't know.
Like just, New Day, in my opinion, is like a contender for tag team of, in history.
Yeah. Yeah, tag team of all time. Like
career tag teams for sure.
Like, so, and
for
if you want to go like, if you want to, you go like kayfabe wise, Street Profits beat the New Day. So
that's true. So they're the best. Yeah. To be the man, you got to beat the man. To be the tag team, you got to beat the tag team. Right. That's how it should go. Okay. Who have you guys got? I'll actually start with Blake for once. Cause why not? Blake, what was your weekly TV show of the year of 2020? Which I guess technically when we came up with this, it didn't have to be wrestling. It was literally just weekly TV show.
Yeah, some Simpsons.
Okay, so I want to pick SmackDown, but I am going to pick Dynamite, mainly because I feel like AEW really adapted to the crowdless shows a lot better and a lot faster than WWE did. Mm-hmm. So that's my reason.
Cool.
I picked Dynamite.
Dynamite!
Like, if we're talking about, like, the best weekly show out of like, the past, like, couple months, I'd say SmackDown. But all year, I'd say Dynamite.
I just have to acknowledge Mrs. Crowder pointing out how dapper I'm looking this evening. And it's, I know how to dress for an awards show. I'm the fancy of this tag team.
Yeah, if, that was my first serious answer this entire show.
And if I had an actual award show. Oh, it's Mrs. Jules.
I was so used to Mrs. Crowder popping up in the last stream chirping Crowder that like I half read because I'm looking at you mugs.
She doesn't even go into my stream. Like, what is this?
No, it is actually the future Mrs. Jules, and I apologize because I thought she was relaxing and having a girls' night, and it's nice of her to stop by.
Jules does well in like the female demographic here.
Apparently,
yeah. You got Mrs. Crowder. You got
it's not even that. It's the wives demographic. It's the wives demographic. Yeah, that's what I've got. It's a very oddly specific demographic. That doesn't affect T.Y. or Blake.
Oh, and now Mrs. Crowder has popped up back in Crowder's stream.
There we go. The missus giving the responses there.
All right, T.Y., saving what do you got?
So, I have a question. So, does it have to be a wrestling show or can it be a wrestling related?
Anything.
As long as it's weekly TV.
I'm going to say Being the Elite then.
Being the Elite?
Yeah, I think BTE, okay. Yeah. I think the one thing that AEW has over WWE is just the freedom they get to make content, and like they make these storylines make so much sense, and people can continue their storylines off camera as well. So I'm gonna say Being the Elite.
There we go.
Being the Elite is fairly solid. Do you want me to take over so I'm not always going last there, Crowder?
Sure. Yeah. Let's do
okay.
That.
You guys know my answer. You guys, I talk about it every week. It was Impact. It was Impact. It was every week. I don't know. I felt like they always delivered, even their undercard. This was the year we got, you know, Rohit Raju as X Division champion. It started with Ace Austin too. So like we had a solid lineage. We had Wrestle House, which I don't give a damn if nobody liked. I liked Wrestle House, right? We Johnny Bravo got shot.
No.
Right, like it was just.
You see that so enthusiastically. Like, why are you so happy about Johnny Bravo getting fucking?
Because it was brilliant television. Because
everybody fucking hates Johnny Bravo. So
Johnny Bravo was fine. Okay, he was shot in the chest, but it somehow migrated to his neck. He got better. It was fine. Rosemary just like wanted his blood. It's great. It's great. It was great television.
His sure. wound got like cyberpunked there.
Yeah, I know. They moved it around. It's fine. It's fine.
And I guess I will go with Ring of Honor Wrestling. They had their Pure tournament, which was really good. It was something that was just different than a lot of the other stuff you were seeing. And I'm a fan of stuff that is different. It was a good palate cleanser because like the year got a little bit wacky with like cinematic wrestling, and Ring of Honor came back with their Pure tournament, which was, you know, a nice glass of water to kind of refresh the year.
It was a cool counter to what everyone else was doing.
Yep.
They were the ones who struck out and did something different.
Yeah, WWE was shut out. No, even NXT was
Have we even? Oh yeah,
SmackDown. No, okay, to be fair, SmackDown was my runner-up. If someone else had gone before me and they picked Dynamite, I would have picked SmackDown.
Won the SmackDown. If you were to pick a WWE show producing, at least since the Roman Reigns return, it would have been SmackDown. Although NXT's
big issue is that it's really fucking irritating to get in Canada. Like we don't get it live, and we get a chopped down version of it.
Yeah, it's very tough to. Yeah.
Wrestle House was great. There's just Wrestle House love in my chat, and it's outstanding. I don't give a damn what anyone says. Okay, all right, gents. What was your pay per view of the year?
Oh, you already know mine. Talkin' Shop-a-Mania 2.
I'm gonna have to double up on Blake with that one.
Yeah, Talkin' Shop-a-Mania 2. Yeah.
So both of you talking shop.
It was the only pay per view this year I sat down and did not skip a single second of it.
That was the only pay per view that I actually spent money on.
yeah, that's right. So, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Crowder, you got something different for us?
I do. It was literally the first show of 2010, or the first big show of 2020, night one of Wrestle Kingdom.
Nice.
Top three matches are all masterclasses. Osprey Takahashi was awesome. Okada Naito was awesome. Just a overall great show.
Right? It's hard to argue that too. I like that they're going for kayfabe break in, what entertained you the most, and Crowder doubles down on this is the wrestling.
I know, me out of all people, wrestling. You.
what the actual hell?
Yeah, he's getting serious on you, Jules.
I've been corrupted by Rich King here, so.
Yeah. Oh, you mean the mystery troll?
Yeah.
You mean Kitch Ring?
Kitch Ring, yeah.
Here today. Did somebody forget to book him or something? Did we send him the PO?
Okay, so I have to follow up on a question from the Mrs. Jules' best friend there, because she's out of the loop. TY, can we sidebar after I give my pay-per-view of the year, because she affectionately refers to your former tag team partner as Tassels, and she would like to know what happened to him. Because we'll seems to have...
And by Tassels...
My pay-per-view of the year...
And by Tassels, you clearly mean Big Ben, right?
Obviously. And we all know what happened to him.
Tatanka.
Yeah, we all know what happened to him. He got double murdered by us and Blake.
Yeah.
honestly... for me, it was sometimes a show can be built around one match. And when an entire show is built around that one match and that match delivers in almost every possible way, it brings up the level of the entire show. And that's not to say this show didn't support it. But to me, it was the 2020 Royal Rumble.
That was in my chat there, Royal Rumble, because of Edge's return.
The Edge return, the MVP return, the Brock, everything Brock Lesnar up until Drew McIntyre, Ricochet punching him in the nuts, and then the Drew McIntyre elimination, and then Drew goes on, the bad camera cut on Edge's first spear back, but even the undercard for it too. Yep. As much as I wasn't there for the Roman Reigns Baron Corbin feud, I felt like their Falls Count Anywhere match was the best match in that feud. They should have ended it at the Royal Rumble.
Fiend Daniel Bryan was good.
Charlotte winning the Royal Rumble and then going on to challenge Rhea Ripley. Everything going into that I thought was fantastic. I really dug the Daniel Bryan Fiend match, because I feel like coming out of that strap match, Daniel Bryan is the only person who hasn't really lost anything by having matches with the Fiend, or he hasn't really changed anything. He still continues to be the same Daniel Bryan. And out of all the guys who've gotten the best matches out of The Fiend, the best storytelling matches this year with him have been Randy Orton. But I felt like the best pure match that The Fiend has had was with Daniel Bryan at the Royal Rumble.
Daniel Bryan did change working with The Fiend, though.
But that was literally the catalyst of his
babyface turn.
Yeah, sort of, but not in the way that everybody else has kind of dramatically shifted. It was more of a, okay, how can we get Daniel Bryan back to... Now that we're done this heel run, maybe we can keep that going in this direction.
That was,
and Becky Lynch and Asuka is always good by me.
That was a very underrated match too.
Becky Lynch and Asuka? Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I do wish, like, this is going a sidebar a little bit. As great as babyface Daniel Bryan is, I felt that the eco-terrorists still had legs to it.
Yeah. I was angry when they dared him babyface again. Not even kidding. I was mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to hop on your sidebar with another sidebar because I absolutely fucking love that Daniel Bryan flawlessly pulled off the gimmick they tried to give Juice Robinson in NXT.
Yes, pretty much.
Like, he could not get it off the ground at all. And then Brian's just like, nah, I got this. Can we talk about that hemp title, though? That, like...
the fucking, like, $800 replica on GoDaddy shop?
Only Daniel Bryan could make that ugly-ass title work.
Okay, here's... I have it immortalized. I got a kick-ass story for you. I'm pretty sure it was for Christmas. Leo got a new Daniel Bryan, and it came with that fucking title. Like a little toy version. And my favorite part about it is knowing it's a little plastic toy version of that hemp title. And there's just some sweet irony in that to me.
Was it actually hemp?
No, it was like a little, same as like all the other little plastic toy title belts.
Worthless.
Yeah.
Right?
They even put the investment in. Bullshit.
Okay, what has everybody got for their feud of the year? Let's T.Y., you got something for us?
Yes, I do. And I know this might not be
popular, I think I know what it is. Oh, wait, no, maybe I'm wrong.
I'm going to go Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio. as much as people hated it, I think that was the only thing that kept me engaged throughout that Performance Center era of Raw.
They were doing something different.
It was a good way to bring in Dominic. Am I a fan of like an eye for an eye match? No, but I mean, people talked about it.
Okay, here's the thing about the eye for an eye match.
That's
like, the match, it's like, I understand people's problem with the finish because like it was kind of like very obvious. Like Rey Mysterio did not actually lose his fucking eye, but
what
everything that they did like before in that match was fucking excellent.
Here's what I'm gonna say before I let you guys go. If this match or this whole story was done as like a movie, people would have thought it was amazing.
Oh,
but because,
for sure.
Yeah. Because it's wrestling and people have this, they enjoy, you know, kind of nitpick it and pick out the things that's fake and not real and stuff like that. That's what made it like not as popular. But like, if you just look at it like from a story perspective, it's a pretty good story, I think.
As much as I'm kind of over cinematic matches, I feel the eye for eye should have been a cinematic match.
Oh yeah, yeah, it should have been. They could have made it like a Saw like horror movie by the end if they really wanted to.
I think they doubled down on it. I actually think they did, and then Vince saw it. He's like, "This is way too."
Oh yeah, that's right.
I did hear about that. Yeah,
that's right. There was a cut of said cinematic, and he was like, "No, we're just gonna do it with a fake eyeball in the ring. Call it in the ring, boys." I totally thought T.Y. was going with Jey Uso and Roman Reigns.
I'm going to go with Jey Uso and Roman Reigns. That's right.
There it is.
There was a close number two.
Yeah, yeah.
I am going to go with Randy Orton Edge.
Even though it kind of petered out pretty quickly, we got the greatest wrestling match ever.
Yeah, even though it kind of petered out by backlash because of Edge's injury. 2020 has been the best work of Randy Orton in his career. And I feel like some props have to go to him for that. And Edge coming back and almost immediately wrestling an amazing match right off the rip. Like, the WrestleMania match fucking sucked, but the Backlash match was amazing.
I wouldn't say it sucked.
It was so boring. The announcers were talking like it was PGA, the announcers whispering just took the whole match away from me, and it was like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I did not like the WrestleMania match at all, but the rest of everything else I've loved in this whole thing.
Now, from your perspective, with the match being so long, do you think it was Edge giving himself a handy there, or do you think it was everyone else in the production crew Edge is back. Give him the big WrestleMania payday.
I feel the big thing for that WrestleMania. I don't know, like the Dudley. I don't think they really wanted a lot of focus of in-ring action because there was like nobody in the crowd, so they didn't really. Yeah. They wanted to try to do anything they could to get away from stuff in the ring, so they just really had to try and pad that out heavily. And I thought it was to a detriment in that match.
I mean, plus
the commentary fucking sucked. I hated the commentary so much.
For once, I'm dipping away from the serious, and I'm gonna dip into the zany here, guys. All you guys loving on Taka Shop and Mania too. This has nothing to do with it, but I'm just my feud of the year. And there was a close second to it was Bayley and Michael Cole. And I've mentioned this in past streams. This was consistently entertaining to me, even when I got a bad episode of SmackDown or a bad segment. Like, I have never seen somebody heel on Michael Cole for so long, for so hard, and just consistently. Like, she would jump out in the middle of matches and just go razz him at the desk. Or anytime she sat out there. Like, it was just, she'd go out of her way to haze Cole. And it was just, I was living for it. I was living for it all year. It was probably some of my absolute favorite content on SmackDown. It's just like, I was sitting going into episodes being like, okay, how's she gonna fuck with him this week? Like, what's Bayley's end game here?
So between that and Big E just fucking with Corey Graves all month.
That was right? Like, it's a bad year for commentators.
Yeah.
Corey Graves versus Big E's jacket.
I don't think we have a female wrestler of the year. We just had a wrestler of the year, I believe. I don't know if we need to separate it.
Sure. Let's impromptu add that.
All right, we're gonna sidebar.
Bayley.
Ah, fuck you. Bayley's 2020 was just, it's 2020 Bayley is my favorite Bayley. Like, there's, I, as much as myself and like Leo loved like NXT, like huggable, like super fan Bayley, you know, it's just 2020 Bayley was just, however, if you know what, if he's going to take that, then my second, my runner up, if we were doing this, Asuka. Nobody has worked more matches in WWE this year than Asuka.
Yep.
And she's killing it every time she goes out there. It doesn't matter who she's working with. She made fucking Zelina Vega look good. She made like Lana look good. She's doing everything and anything that they throw at her, and she's just killing it. And it kills me to know that she's tag champs with Charlotte Flair right now. But it's okay. She's got two belts. I can live with it. I really can live with it.
I'm gonna go Sasha Banks. I just think Sasha Banks' whole feud with Bayley, in my opinion, is a contender for feud of the year. I think it started off more in 2019, though, if I'm correct, right?
Like them teaming or whatever.
So, yeah.
No, like their feud, or at least their. I mean, the whole story, but
yeah, I guess the seeds were kind of planted.
Teasing that turn for fucking years.
Yeah. And Sasha Banks versus Bayley in Hell in a Cell was probably one of the best matches this year. So.
Yep.
That kickstart one of her reigns for titles. So I think Sasha Banks.
It's not on the level of the ball for a ball match, but
absolutely nothing on the level of ball for a ball.
No.
All right, so
Crowder, who's
so yours? I'm gonna go with somebody that percentage wise was always holding a title, might have been away for a little while, and this will ruffle Jules's feathers. Charlotte Flair, Wrestler of the Year. She has always held a title, be it NXT, women's, or tag team champion. The elite of the elite.
And she's sullied everything she touched this year.
Listen, I love Charlotte Flair, honestly, but like, she was gone for half the year, was she not?
She was, yeah, absolutely.
won the Royal Rumble, won the NXT...
women's title at WrestleMania.
The NXT women's title at WrestleMania, the first time it's been defended at WrestleMania, came back and immediately won the tag. Like, I see your point. I hate you for it, but I see the validity of your point.
A very Roman Reigns year for Charlotte here.
It's horseshit.
All right, so
you're lucky you're the host of this call, because I can't mute you.
All right.
If we were to flip the scales, who's everyone's male wrestler of the year?
TY, who do you got?
I need some thinking right now.
Yeah.
All right. Jules, who do you got? Let's start with you here.
You know, I kind of mulled this over because there's a lot of really good options.
Yeah.
But just thinking hard about it, who match wise, booking wise, promo wise, who had a better year than Jon Moxley?
Ah, goddamn you!
Like, but think about, like, who had a better year?
Yeah.
Like in 2020 than Jon Moxley.
Yeah.
Coming in as AEW World Champ. I mean, left without it, but just everything he was given along the way. Like, this is the best I think we've ever seen him.
At least
I think I got to go with Randy Orton, personally.
Sure.
Just because, like this is the, like we said earlier in this episode, like, this is the best Randy Orton we've ever seen.
Yeah.
I think so.
It's the exact same argument as my argument for Moxley. Like, it's their best. This is the best we've gotten out of these two thus far.
I mean, for me, I think I'm surprised nobody said this, but I think Drew McIntyre.
That was my number two.
Yeah.
That was my number two.
He's carried the pandemic era of wrestling, I think.
Oh.
And he's shown that he's so talented that a lack of fans won't like. And I mean, everybody felt horrible for him because, you know, he had to go into his Mania match with no fans and stuff like that. But I think he proved himself as a guy who left WWE, came back, and went straight to the top and wants to be at the top. And I don't see him going any lower from there anytime soon.
There's no better pure babyface than Drew McIntyre.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe babyface Sami Zayn. Maybe.
I was...
A heel Sami Zayn is too damn good.
my chat spoiled it for you. When you said there is no better baby face, I will raise you Kota Ibushi.
Okay.
Super baby face. And at Wrestle Kingdom, he became God. So.
Does that mean he has to wrestle? Does he have to work that tag match with Shawn Michaels?
Yes, Vince and Shane now. It was actually Shawn Michaels and Ibushi versus the McMahons.
Okay, so like if you go back, they've CG'd Ibushi into that match, right?
Ibushi and his sexy abs, yeah.
Okay,
best wrestling retcon ever, right there.
Fuck, that one was like. Easy to like come up with like a backup option, but like
your, what was your number one, right?
Yeah, like Randy was my number one, but my number two and threes in was a Drew and Moxley.
Yeah. Okay, what was everybody's most disappointing moment? Let's put this in a wrestling context, because like I mean like 2020 would have been my most disappointing moment, the pandemic era. Yeah, what was everybody's most disappointing moment in pro wrestling this year?
All right, Blake. For me, I've got to go with Goldberg beating The Fiend.
Oh, that's so good. That was...
When they first announced that match, I loved it. Because I was assuming, like most other people, that Bray was going over.
They were bringing him in to like do a high-profile job to Bray, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then that just... did not fucking happen.
No, the universe does not like... Vince McMahon does not like to give us things that we like.
And of course, this is what the dirt sheets were saying. And I hope it's not true, but if it's true that Goldberg was supposed to lose and then politicked his way into winning, that's even more disappointing.
I mean, he Hoganed his way to it, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
When in doubt,
we gotta protect Drew McIntyre at all costs now because Goldberg is coming for him.
Well, yeah, it's a couple weeks Goldberg, away can you, here.
Can you please avenge your mistake with The Fiend and just like put Drew over, please?
I know, like we're not talking about Raw, but what the fuck was that Goldberg promo?
I don't fucking know. It's like he's saying Drew McIntyre has no respect for the legends.
Did Goldberg fucking bash his head on like the wall before coming out here?
Probably, Randy Orton spends the whole show attacking legends. Drew McIntyre gets the endorsement from Hogan. Like,
that's Goldberg coming into the building late and not realizing what's going on.
And not being given a script, just like, get out there, Bill. This is your call to get out there.
Call it in the ring.
Call it in the ring, Bill. Fuck.
But yeah,
see, if they did Randy versus Goldberg,
that promo okay would make sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Okay.
Okay. So, what are we most disappointing moment? Okay.
Yeah, most disappointing.
TY, do you want to go?
Blake gave
there's
us a
only
good
one thing that comes to mind. I think that's for me personally. I think splitting up the New Day.
Yeah.
Now, looking at in hindsight now, I think, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. Well, not at least, no pun intended. But, like seeing Big E's title right now and seeing how they kind of made it work. It's not really a split. It's really like, you know, they're on both brands. Yeah. But I think initially, I think it was kind of sad for me. So I think that was really disappointing.
Fair.
It was the first time like the draft had an impact on something, because it really hasn't in the longest time. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the world reacted to the New Day. Yeah. So if that isn't a sign of how fucking over you are, like, I don't know what is. I don't know if Crowder's got it, sure. But I got something. All right.
My most disappointing moment is the WWE's treatment of its wrestlers during 2020. Be it releasing wrestlers in the middle of a pandemic while posting $42 million quarter profits, be it then trying to control their everyday life being via third-party platforms, and the WWE just doubling down on that. That how the WWE has operated in 2020 is my most disappointing moment of the year.
Mine is a really zeroed in version of that, because I thought about it earlier today, and there's one specific treatment that comes to mind for me, and it was Zelina Vega's release. I know this is more of a shoot one, but she was really trying to move things forward, move the business forward in a way, like just trying to help everybody and protect everybody in an era like this. And they just showed her the door. They're like, you know what? We dislike that so much that you can go.
Yep.
And that to me was just
that. Like what was like a month and a half before, like they were pushing her on Raw.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they were pushing her hard, and you kind of felt like it was going to keep going. And then I've seen them not punish people for like shooting mouths off or like offending people. And like, everyone's pretty sure that Baron Corbin lost his money in the bank for, you know, shooting off his mouth to the wrong people on social media. And that's one thing. But like, for her trying to do something good to help everybody in the industry, and to just be so, just be dealt with so severely, like, it gets under my skin thinking about it, that they would just, like, we know they're like that, and we know Vince is like that, but just to so brazenly
just to see it that play out in 2020 the way it did.
I think everybody kind of knew that WWE was that, like, mm-hmm. bad, but then, like, 2020 has really opened people's eyes to even people who were kind of neglecting it or, like, accepting it now, and, like, if it doesn't change, in my opinion, like, they're going to be, it's going to be a problem for them later down, because people are eventually going to get sick of that shit.
Yeah.
Does anyone know if Andrew Yang's actually like going to get a position in the Biden administration?
We don't really know anything until like later in the month, kind of thing. My guess is he's also running for mayor of New York City, so I'm not too sure like what his future in the Biden administration is.
Okay. Let's turn things out. What was everybody's best gimmick of the year? What do you think was the best gimmick?
Best gimmick. Who do you got there? I gotta think about this for a second.
I'll jump on it. There's one that I think is super obvious, and super popular, but I can't do it because it's too easy. For me, it was the Dark Order, specifically being the Elite Dark Order. Just everyone has a different personality. Everyone is unique. Everyone had their own voice, and they were consistently entertaining. And I will give anything, any amount of money, any day to have one more segment of Brody Lee just abusing these individuals. just one more, you know, like that was it for me. I had a close runner up that I feel like, that's my rest in peace for Brody Lee, the Dark Order. I was consistently entertained all year, gimmick wise. Like, that was just, it's beautiful. Anyway, who's got another? Who was the gimmick? Who had the gimmick? All right, Blake.
So my gimmick of the year isn't so much a wrestler, but it's a gimmicky match. Does that count?
Sure, it's a gimmick.
Why not? Yeah.
Okay, so my
it's a very broad category.
Okay, so my gimmick of the year was the Money in the Bank match at the WWE headquarters. I thought it was different. I thought it was a good way of still keeping the Money in the Bank match as a ladder match, but not having, like, say, 16 of your top superstars taking ladder bumps in front of nobody.
I can't argue it. Like, it's all completely like, it's valid. It's good shit. It's such good shit. It's
entertaining as fuck too. Otis never should have won.
Like the booking was a little screwy, but it doesn't change the gimmick. The match
itself was fine.
It needed more brother love.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know what that match really needed though? R-Truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That R-Truth would have made that match.
Like R-Truth should have at least like run once they got to the ring on the roof. Should have like run in and thrown someone over the top rope.
Yeah.
Right. Thinks like a declare Rumble that match. He is like won the Royal Rumble.
After Baron Corbin throws Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black off the roof, R-Truth throws Baron Corbin off the roof. I won the Rumble.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm torn between two. But I'm going to go with maybe the Hurt Business.
What was that?
Yes.
Who did you got there, T.Y.? I didn't hear.
The Hurt Business.
The Hurt Business. Ah, very nice.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, they speak for themselves. It's a group that's like made, you know, Shelton Benjamin wasn't doing anything. Now he's on TV consistently. Yeah. You know, Bobby Lashley, who was, you know, everybody knows Bobby Lashley's championship material, but, you know, he's kind of in that shitty storyline with Lana and stuff like that, and helping Cedric get to the next level. So I, you know, and what I like about them is that they're not necessarily a heel faction, but they're just a faction that wants to get paid. So
yeah.
They'll do whatever brings the money, which is really refreshing. Now, obviously, they're more on the heel side, but.
So how do you feel that they're already seemingly kind of like teasing dissension in that group already?
Don't do it, WWE.
I don't like to talk about it.
Don't fucking do it.
Everyone
would be cool if WWE just drops that right now.
Right? Like, let's just... I think as a group, we can all agree, and I think it's part of the reason why I didn't include it as a category, is overall, the return of 2020 was MVP.
That was solid. Like,
what a fucking run out of nowhere.
Especially at the beginning, because he was managing EverDrive, he was wrestling, he was doing commentary, then he was managing Lashley, and then he was also being like a producer.
And what's great too is like MVP was planning on like retiring.
Yeah, he was done.
He was done. Like, he just wanted to get that one last Rumble moment for his son, and it was supposed to be over. And now it's turned into this whole new career.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, this whole second run, this career vitalization for MVP.
Yeah.
Loved it. All right, what was your gimmick, Crowder?
Well, I got to go with the low-hanging fruit and go with Danhausen.
Ah! Nobody chose the Fiend. Yeah. Oh, I'm surprised.
Danhausen got, like, everybody on wrestling Twitter to, like, change their, like, Twitter name. Like, everybody, like,
he is
such a charismatic enigma wrapped in a riddle. Like, it's great stuff.
Charismatic enigma and riddle.
Okay. To be fair to the Fiend.
What are you trying to say?
The Hardy Bros.
To be fair to the Fiend, like, I feel like Bray's TV time has been very limited, and for good reason, mind you. So that's part, and we're getting a lot more exposure to, say, the Hurt Business and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
Plus, I feel Fiend peaked in 2019.
I'd say he started to bounce back in 2020 when we included Alexa Bliss. Sure. Whether you like it or not, it added a refreshing twist, and it added something new, and we're adding more levels to a character that kind of, you know, needs them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to follow that up with the worst gimmick of the year, and I'm taking off right here because, I'm sorry, Lightning did not strike a third time. To me, Damascus was a complete failure. Broken Matt just did not translate in AEW. It did not. It's probably one of my only fails in AEW this year was just... I like what he's doing now, where he's kind of like mentoring Private Party and like kind of just being more Matt Hardy. Like the stuff with Sammy Guevara was all right, but like Damascus was just a flat wet fart in wrestling for me this year.
Blake, do you want?
I'm trying my best.
For me, I'm gonna say a gimmick is in like a concept or idea.
It could be a match. It could be an overall show. Like War Games is a gimmick, right? So
I'd say Raw Underground.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm sorry.
You're gonna shit on Shane McMahon's Raw with cocaine and hookers? Like how?
I appreciate the thought of trying to do something different, but the execution. I mean, it's typical WWE, but the execution right? just. It wasn't. Now, what was Blake? What was Talking Shop Mania's bootleg?
Raw under shit or something? Under shit,
yeah, yeah.
Like that? That was good shit.
Roll under shit, I think.
Yeah, that was good shit. But Raw Underground is a no-no for me.
So, I have to qualify this. I think he is a tremendous wrestler and has put in tons of time and deserves a lot more than what he has. But Dolph Ziggler, he has been literally the exact same thing for almost a decade now.
Yeah, I hate you.
it sucks because Dolph Ziggler is super, super talented, but he has not changed anything at all in a decade. I'm kind of done with Ziggler.
Can't tell what he is, you know, like. Is he a metalhead? Is he a Motley Crue wannabe? Like what is he? Can you define?
I think at this point, Dolph Ziggler just doesn't give a shit anymore, just doing whatever he likes.
He's just happy to get paid. Yeah.
So, okay. I just feel like he's always had a start and stop, right?
Yeah.
I guess the momentum and stop.
Like I have to qualify. It's like I can't blame him for basically just phoning it in for the last couple years, but I got to go with Ziggler.
I'm going to pull one out of my ass and say the Braun Strowman versus Bray Wyatt swamp fight. I liked the cinematic matches, but that one just didn't really do it for me.
No, not quite.
All right, what do you got?
I preferred eye for an eye than the
swamp match.
Yeah, because like the finish of that was bad, but at least it was like hilariously bad to the point where it's still
Seth Rollins puking and
they tried their damnedest to make that believable.
All right, Jules, what was your worst gimmick?
My worst. Oh, I did it first.
Oh, did you? What was yours?
It was Damascus. That's it was right. It was That's Matt right. Hardy, broken Matt Hardy 3.0, which was not.
Not didn't do it for you?
No.
All right. So what's next on the docket?
What is next on the docket? Okay. This to me was the hardest one for me to figure out. And who is your most underrated wrestler of the year?
You know, it's in vogue to say like Cesaro or Chad Gable, but I'm gonna go with Tomohiro Ishii. I'm fucking New Japan Mark here.
I'm the Impact Mark. We have gimmicks within the show.
Ishii might literally be the best wrestler on the planet right now, and I don't feel he gets nearly the recognition that he deserves for being the best wrestler on the planet.
I'm still trying to think here while making sure we don't have like any like dead silence.
TY, have you got who you think is the most underrated?
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's underrated because he's been doing pretty well. But I'm gonna say Kyle O'Reilly. I think he's had probably the run of his career at this point, and like every match he's put on is like just like he's showed that he's not just the tag team wrestler. You know, he can kill it in singles. So yeah. I'm gonna say Kyle O'Reilly.
Okay. I'm going to say one that will make people angry and upset.
Slapjack.
But I don't care. Well, I love Slapjack. No. Actually, you know what? Fuck it. I was going to say Baron Corbin to make people mad, but I wouldn't say he's underrated because I feel like people know how good he is, but people kind of shit on his gimmick anyway. But I'm going to say Mustafa Ali.
Sure.
Yeah.
That was on my list. I had a list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's number two for me.
His promo on Raw Talk the other day was so fucking funny.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Can I just say I'm loving the – I just want to sidebar for a second because we are getting huge Twitter interaction from Quinn Hoxley on all of our polls thus far.
Yay!
Yeah. It's pretty solid. It's a lot of loving on AEW, and I don't blame you for it. I'm an impact mark. That's my gimmick. That's who I am. I legit had a list of underrated and Ali, and like Mustafa Ali was on it.
But who do you got?
I guess I haven't delivered yet, have I?
You have not.
Okay. So my whole list is good. My whole list is good. However, I'm going to go with Jordynne Grace.
Okay.
Because Jordynne Grace has been delivering every time she's in the ring, every time she's given an opportunity, but like has kind of been am I paid by Impact? No, I'm just a mark for Impact.
It's the only I
have two paid by Impact. We would not.
Are you an Impact stooge, Rituals?
No, because I have two AEW guys on this list too. Like there's one Impact, two WWE and two AEW on this list. But the reason is she was more of a vehicle to get Deonna Purrazzo over, and then kind of faded into the background there. They kind of moved her into the X Division scene for a minute, and then they moved her into the Knockouts Tag Tournament. They gave her Jazz like the big reveal as a tag partner. I know they just recently had a match, but I kind of feel like the attention in that women's division, which is the strongest women's division. Again, I might be paid by Impact. For somebody who's as good as she is and had as short a title run as she had, she's just kind of been moved into the background of that scene. And I still think she delivers on a level where she should be at the forefront of that scene.
Fair.
Plus, she rolls with Scott Steiner. So, I mean, like, how do you...
That was still
that's her dad.
Yeah. That was still the greatest trio ever with Jordynne Grace, Scott Steiner, and Petey Williams.
And Petey Williams, yeah.
Yeah. And if, Blake, if Scott Steiner is Jordynne Grace's dad, Scott Steiner's acting very inappropriate towards his daughter here.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Like...
All right, what do we got next here?
Has everybody gone through that?
Yeah.
Okay, Just to clarify in my chat, okay, the remainings on my list that just like weren't quite on the cusp for me were Sami Zayn, Lance Archer, and Brian Cage were all also on this list.
Brian Cage is a good one. Like he's somebody that always comes into a promotion with like a lot of hype, and then like nothing ever like happens with him.
Right? Like it's so. I mean, I was there. That's where I was at. Okay. What's everybody's botch of the year?
Ooh.
My life.
Okay, that's it.
The year 2020.
I got one.
Right? Okay, so my botch of the year is Now, this name isn't going to mean anything to you, to anybody, but when I describe it, you'll understand. My botch of the year goes to a gentleman by the name of Justin. And if you guys don't know who Justin is, there was a video that circulated around October of a young man who jumped down from the second rope in a homemade ring. And
oh my God,
of his legs. And whether it's the best botch of the year, whether it's the worst botch of the year, because it's a horrendous situation. God. I've seen that happen live where somebody jumped into the ring, like in a match with me, didn't bend their knees and like blew their knees out. Like it was a train wreck, and it was a train wreck the whole world watched. That's for better or for worse, that's my botch of the year.
My botch of the year is my life.
Very good.
Actual choice.
That's the botch of the decade right there.
the botch of the last 20 years.
22 years.
Oh, he's getting specific.
My botch of the year was Mike Tyson not being able to get his shirt off. That was just... And the fact that he looked so, like, gangster while he was doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, I have an actual one.
He kept a straight face while he was doing it, and it just that shit wouldn't come off.
I have an actual wrestling related one.
Sure.
Okay.
So disregard my last one.
Is it Mike Tyson yawning in that TNT title match?
No, but it's kind of somewhat similar. So my botch of the year is, it was a couple weeks ago when the Fiend was when the camera guy caught the Fiend hopping back over the barricade.
So do you give the botch, is that to the camera guy?
Yeah. We'll give him the daddy, since he probably got fired after that.
And mine was, you knew this stable was not going to be event stable when a random member of Retribution decided to throw a cinder block through an already broken window. What was he thinking? Like, I cannot believe that. That's my favorite. That's still my favorite moment of 2020. And I knew that stable was fucked after that.
That's it. You're done. You're dead. Move on.
Oh, yeah. Mike the ref with Matt Hardy falling off that scissor lift.
Oh, yeah, that would have been it.
None of us picked that.
I don't think I could give a second. I couldn't give a second daddy to Matt Hardy. Like, I like him too much. I couldn't do it.
People actually get hurt during botches. It's not as funny.
It's not as fun.
But yeah. Sometimes it is.
Right? Like, that's where mine went. Like, that's it.
Yeah,
it was an internet sensation.
Jules was the only one that, like, led to, like, a severely debilitating injury here.
What was the gentleman's name, Jules?
Justin. That much I've discovered in my research.
So like, it's not so much that he got hurt. It's just the way he buckled.
Yep.
Like, you can't help but laugh.
Yeah.
Just it blew up on the internet. And like, I'm a terrible human. It's like, has anybody seen, it reminded me of the top rope big boot Sid Vicious botch.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That was the Sid Johnny Unitas kind of injury right there.
Yeah, like that. You can't, it's a train wreck. You can't help but like you stare at it, right?
Yeah. I feel like guys have to be like legitimately huge pieces of shit for me to laugh at them getting hurt. And from like, if Velveteen Dream got injured, it's like, whatever. Yeah. That's what you get for asking children which school they go to.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to like laugh at his expense either. It's just like for all the reasons I gave, like it was just like, it's on paper. Like
even been on NXT as of late?
Dream? I don't know. I don't
know. No, I think NXT. Dream is kind of like hopefully fallen into obscurity.
Yeah, let's not talk about Dream here.
Yeah, that's all the time he'll get on the show.
Let's move on. Yeah.
Gimmick infringement of the year. Who's got a gimmick infringement of the year?
I don't know.
I think this one's pretty easy. I think the Wee Nominal one is.
Yeah, that was.
That one.
AJ Swoggle?
AJ Swoggle, yeah. That one's up there for me.
I'm going to go because that was mine. That was mine.
Oh, was
it? But no. I could always double down. I'm going to go with my chat's going to light me up for this. Tommy Dreamer basically trying to rip off Law and Order. And, like, probably doing a terrible job of it. But that's Tommy Dreamer, Law and Order. That's what does it for me.
So, Blake, are you going to go with – you got something different?
I know what
different?
I'm doing. Yes, I am.
Oh, I got something.
My gimmick infringement of the year was by that piece of shit Rick Jules stealing my big yeetus at CWE in St. Albert back in October.
But I didn't botch it. How is that a botch?
I thought we were discussing the next one on the list now.
We're doing gimmick infringement here.
Well, see, it wasn't a gimmick infringement, Blake, because he actually hit them in the face and not in the chest. So,
that was one time.
So, my gimmick infringement was that one motherfucker that stole Jew Dawkins' gimmick at the U.S. Capitol building the other day.
Yeah!
I don't even give a shit that it was in 2021. That is...
Cheetah Bear represent!
I think we should all just assume that that guy was Jude's racist uncle.
Right? Like...
That was Cheetah Derp.
Okay. I know, I don't know if she's watching live or just reacting on Twitter, and I'm loving all the AEW sidebars that Quinn Hoxley's throwing in here. Matt Sydal's debut botch.
Oh, man. Yeah. That was
I
good.
Love how they turned that into an angle on being the elite.
Yeah.
You had the like one dude fucking grease up the turnbuckle before the show.
Yeah, right? They're just like...
The best save, honestly.
Yeah. Right? They were doing what they had to do.
Yep.
Oh man, that was amazing. I have to take the time to respond to that because.
Okay. What was Blake's? Blake's was Jules
Me.
Doing the big yeetus or stealing his knee, stealing his finish.
Yeah, stealing
the finish that he stole from somebody else.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
We're almost through it, guys. We've almost made it. This is one of our longer due. Who is everyone's sexiest fat guy of the year?
Otis.
Yeah. I was gonna say Otis. Yeah. Damn it.
I'm with somebody who's been all over social media this year. To me, 2020's sexiest fat guy was Jack Black.
That's 2020's sexiest fat guy was Blake Cannon.
Nah, you knew that was coming.
Piggybacking off of that, I'm going to tell the world that I think the coolest Jack Black lookalike is the Thickness Reed Matthews.
Yeah, Thickness or Jack Black lookalike of the year. Blake Cannon thought that this was a slam dunk to get himself an award. Thickness Reed Matthews. Fuck you, Blake.
Well, my vote is myself again.
Yeah, I gotta go Thickness as well.
Yeah.
Hey.
Blake's got like a 25% chance of winning this.
your stunner math is a little bit off here.
Right. Who was 2020's dadliest dad bod?
Eddie Kingston. Not you two.
Okay, that's... I can't top that. But it was obviously me.
My nomination...
It's CWE.
My nomination is noted fat guy and psychopath, New Jack.
Hey, didn't we say we're gonna stop bringing up his fucking name?
I made no promises.
I am afraid of New Jack. I get nightmares about him coming in my house and stabbing me.
Who's yours there, TY?
That's how I want to go out. Is
you know what? You know
New
what?
Jack.
No. You know what? I'm not putting myself over like that. I'm not gonna pull a Blake. I actually had one for this. I just had to. Chris Jericho was my dadliest dad bod of 2020.
Oh god, this is hard.
Jericho's a good one.
Yeah, it's not an insult for us. That's a compliment. Like,
especially, Especially a couple weeks ago when like NBA Twitter
NBA was, like, Twitter was just like lighting him up.
I don't know. I honestly do not know.
You just tell everybody it's me.
I want to say Keith Lee, but he doesn't have like a dad.
Bod. No. Okay. Like if yeah, you're comparing Keith Lee to Eddie bod. Kingston, thick. Eddie Kingston has a dad bod.
Keith Lee is thick.
Keith Lee's he's just thick. So.
Yeah, Keith Lee is thick boy here.
Fuck, I don't know. I have no idea.
You concede the floor here? Or?
Yeah, I'm gonna plead the fifth here.
Okay, are we on to the next one?
Yep.
It's time
we've
for my
almost fa- we've almost made it through, gents. My what favorite was one. This is oddly specific, although I guess it might apply to other promotions, except I don't actually it might. What was your best professional wrestling attempted murder? And before anybody says it, I'm jumping twice because for me it was Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
it was the whole Murder She Wrote, Law and Order, fucking A&E special that was the mystery of who shot Johnny Bravo.
For me, the best attempted murder of the year was Baron Corbin throwing Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio off a fucking building.
Can we just point out too, part of that was like Aleister Black, like his WWE career was like dead after that.
Yeah.
So like it almost succeeded.
And then Rey Mysterio went on to lose his eye. So I mean both of them had some.
And so like what the fuck?
For me, the funniest part of Baron Corbin's attempted murders is that like it was just like another part in the match. They didn't like put like that much attention to it. He just casually threw them off the building. It's like, all right,
like it's
whatever.
Nothing. All right.
Whatever.
It's like over the top rope, right?
He just tried to murder two human beings. It's fine. Whatever.
So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Sheamus trying to murder Elias.
Very nice.
Running him over in the parking lot.
Running him over the parking lot.
Yeah, no, wait, no, which
Jeff Hardy for it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Because that one was amazing because it showed that Elias doesn't watch the WWE.
Yeah.
Because like, he immediately went to like blame Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, and it was like, dude, they showed everything.
I'm going to copy Jupiter Vision. I have no original idea, and I will go with Julie Ryan committing career suicide.
I don't think he was attempted. I think he succeeded in that.
Yeah, like I was going to say, does that count? I mean, the attempt worked.
Yeah, like that's not an attempted murder. That happened.
That's yeah. That on that note, that is all the airtime he gets on this show.
I'm surprised nobody said Randy Orton saying the Fiend on fire. I think that was
really cool.
I thought
cool.
That was Blake's.
That one was one of my favorite like visual moments of the year, though, where Fiend was like no-selling the mandible claw while on fire.
That was my number two, but like I can't give up my mark status for Impact. plus, I wouldn't shut the fuck up about the Johnny Bravo stuff for like 3 weeks.
Yeah, we had like a whole like podcast arc about that, eh?
Yeah.
Who shot? Yeah, Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, like that's just that's.
We did that for like our hot takes one time.
Yeah, we did. That was one of our hot takes. Was who shot?
Fucking.
That was also the second time first of two that Danhausen has popped up on this podcast. Shout out to Danhausen.
Okay, so I just saw a comment in Crowder stream. I have to point this out. Josh says, "Yeah, but people get set on fire all the time, though."
Yeah, it was nothing special.
Josh, my friend, what kind of life are you living where you are like walking around the street and just seeing a guy on fire all the time?
Hey, that guy's in flames.
Oh, weird how that happens. What was everybody's best animal-based gimmick for 2020?
I'll be specific.
Yes.
I don't know where this one came from, but it was on the list.
Animal-based gimmick? Dead air.
I mean, the low-hanging fruit is Cheetah Bear, obviously, but...
Yeah. I know, and I love him. I love it. Will that be yours, Crowder?
It is not mine.
No, you're not going to take the low-hanging fruit?
Nope.
Oh, I want to say something bad, but I can't.
You know what? I love and adore the man to death, so I will bite that low-hanging fruit.
There we go.
My animal gimmick of the year is the cheetah bear, Jude Dawkins.
Cheetah bear is good shit.
Always good shit. And, like, his, like, in the kitchen, like, his little, like, in the kitchen segments, like, all of his promos,
yeah,
all of his work.
His promos are the best.
For those of you who don't know, Canadian indie darling, the cheetah bear, Jude Dawkins,
and
you should go out of your way.
And judging by our demographics on this podcast, you probably do. I feel there might be only a couple of people that watch this that don't know Jude Dawkins. I'm going
to
guess.
Speaking directly to Val, who I know is in the chat right now.
Although cheetah bear is busting out into the United States in 2019, so hopefully...
That's true. Yeah. That's very true.
Check out cheetah bear. He's amazing. Yeah.
Does anybody else have a animal-based gimmick that they want to go with here before I go with mine?
I so badly want to make this joke, but I can't. I'm gonna show restraint.
You know what that is? All right, Crowder, just give it to the people.
I'm gonna double back to my underrated wrestler and go with the Stone Pitbull Tomohiro Ishii.
Ah! Mm. Nice. Fair. Nice. Come on, there's one... Right in front of everyone. If we don't put it out there, AEW Stan on Twitter is going to put it out there.
While Blake is, you know, like rubbing his two brain cells together, we got Mike the Ref. Make sure you check out the Backbreaker Media page for more Jude Dawkins.
Right. And be sure to check out the Backbreaker Media store for all your DBS merch needs.
There we go.
Did you not get that DBS fanny pack that you wanted for Christmas so desperately? Or that mouse pad or that pillowcase or any neat, nifty little gift that you would have gotten? Well, you can head right there. Blake, this is your perfect opportunity because you always know the site address to jump into this commercial. Blake, tell everybody.
Blake cannot do two things at once. He's trying to think of the animal wrestler.
I'll come up with my answer, but I will do the plug for the merch real quick.
Keep plug.
Okay, the link for the merch is streamlabs.com/MikeTheRef/merch. And my answer for animal gimmick of the year, because I can't think of anything, is Brock Lesnar, because he's the beast.
Oh, that's guys are so stupid, lame. Blake.
That sucked, Blake.
I know.
I was feeding you one. I was feeding you one.
All right, so what was your obvious one here?
As I'm sure, like I said, our lovely AEW Stan, who is pointing out great AEW content from the year on Twitter, Luchasaurus was the answer we were looking for.
That's
Luchasaurus.
Yeah. GG's, and the Blake. Whole Jurassic Express as well. I think they're all...
Yeah, right? Like you could have Jungle Boy... Marco Stunt. Well, I guess
I'm gonna say.
Like,
yeah, I'm gonna say.
Marco Stunt would have been like child wrestler of the year, I guess.
And then Phoenix. It's a legendary bird.
Yeah, that's. Guys, done goofed.
Okay, lizards might not be animals, but it's close enough.
Yeah, right? Jupiter Vision is raising an objection.
I changed my vote. My pick: the Canadian Goose.
Very
finally!
Good.
That's
a good one. Just yeah,
yeah. Shout out.
Are there any other animal-based wrestlers in Alberta that we're missing that we could shout out right now?
Yeah, that we could just... We'll shout them out during the segment, just because.
Yeah. What was yours, T.Y.? Was yours...
I stole Jungle Boy for that one.
Jungle Boy?
Yeah, I'm assuming he's
kind of like a Tarzan kind of gimmick.
Animals
in the jungle, raised by the apes. So
yeah, and they're halfway. So yeah, we're the Jungle Boy. It counts.
Animals live in the jungle. It's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
So we got Rat Corbeil as whatever Coda is, because it's not human.
That's fair.
Okay, next one.
And by apes, do you mean Luke Perry?
No.
No. That's in my chat, and I love it.
It counts for Jungle Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll go with Jungle Boy.
We'll go with Jungle Boy. Okay. We're almost through. We've almost made it. what was everyone's best cinematic match of the year?
I mean, mine has to be obvious because I went with the Boneyard match to start off the show as my match of the year. So it would be
you're going to double down on that.
I'm going to have to agree with him, too.
I'm amazed that no one brought that up for attempted murder of the year. Like, Undertaker literally tried to bury AJ.
Yeah, but he was on TV the next week, so it failed.
Yeah.
Well, it was the least successful attempted murder.
But it's still attempted murder.
Didn't you see the stick with his glove on it? It was only his hand.
My favorite was the Montez Ford tweet after, like, immediately after WrestleMania.
Didn't Zelina Vega try to murder Montez Ford?
She tried to poison him. I don't know if drugging somebody is attempted murder, but she did try to drug
Montez
Ford. This is true. Yeah.
Okay.
My choice for a cinematic match of the year, now that Crowder's taking the Boneyard match, is the Firefly Funhouse match. John Cena and Bray Wyatt. I thought it was different, and I loved how it was basically Bray Wyatt saying, fuck you, John Cena, the entire time, and bring up all his past shit.
And it brought us the such good shit meme to WrestleMania.
It did. It was such good shit. I fell on my floor laughing. I was crying when that happened. I couldn't believe they actually said that on WWE television.
WrestleMania. They memed in a fucking WrestleMania match with Bray Wyatt and John Cena.
And they memed hard. Of all things, and I thought about this too, because this is, everyone's been touching on these ones, and I feel like one got left out. Got left out hard. Stadium Stampede.
That was a good one too.
Yeah.
Everybody loved it at the time. I thought everything about it was fantastic. It's probably my second favorite Jericho moment of the year behind the musical number with MJF. And I just, it was great at the time. And then I felt like everybody was still talking about all the others afterwards, like months later. And it's like, Stadium Stampede got swept under the rug, and it's like, nah, man, like that was probably one of the finest pieces of cinematic wrestling this year. So it is my finest. It is the creme de la creme of cinematic matches.
So when you're talking about like that's your second favorite Jericho moment, where does Fozzy doing the concert at the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally rank in your Jericho moments for you?
I'd say it rounds out the top three in third place because it's awful but hilarious at the same time. And it rounds out my top three.
All right, TY, what do you have?
Oh, I agree with you on the Boneyard. I was about to say Boneyard match.
That's it.
I mean, the Boneyard match was pretty good. I think that was 2019, wasn't it?
If you want to do the Boneyard match, then...
That's a cinematic match.
Yeah, we'll do Boneyard match.
You're going to go with the Boneyard?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, very good.
The pod Twitter is like two behind, or it's not loading.
Or he's working hard, so...
He's working hard.
Yeah, shout out to Andrew's Crow's Nest here. He's doing God's work right now.
Yeah, these are popping out like the second we move on to the next one. So like it's pretty wild.
Yeah, like shout out to
we've got two more, and we're done. What was the best Jack Black moment of 2020?
I would say the best. What did Jack Black do this year?
Everything.
Fucking like nothing. I don't know.
Why is the category?
The Tenacious Black into the lair, didn't I?
The Tenacious D Time Warp cover was my Jack Black moment of 2020.
Okay.
Which home man were there others? Jack
Black moment of the year was probably his Instagram.
Yeah, I was about to say that too. He had this one video on Instagram where like it kept zooming in, just like. Yeah. Something and like I forgot, but it was good. So his Instagram, I agree.
Yeah, his Instagram dancing. What the fuck even was that?
So
right.
What inspired him?
Or his or his weird, almost all a cappella cover of the Game of Thrones theme song. Like he was all over. He was basically all over Instagram, and like I'm pretty sure they were all TikToks.
I don't do either. So I guess my Jack Black moment of the year was in OSW review. They did a review of Biodome with Pauly Shore, and Tenacious D had a cameo in that movie. So fuck you, that's my choice.
Okay. That was a weird one. Why did we do that?
I don't know. It popped up in a conversation once, and it stayed. It stayed.
Yeah. So, literally any suggestion made it onto this award show.
Yeah. Like even if it popped up once, it was there.
Yeah.
If it popped up once, it was there. Okay. We are on the final one, and it came in today. It came in today, and it came in from Mike the Ref. And it was the what the hell were they thinking moment of 2020. And mine is this fucking podcast. What on God's green earth have we been doing for this the latter half horrible. Of 2020?
That's a good question.
We continue to put people through this.
it's
are we doing it for ourselves at this point? Like,
oh, absolutely, yes. Like it was. It's either this or virtual madness. Like,
virtual madness died a slow, painful death.
Yeah.
In all seriousness, though, this has been surprisingly awesome. But like, again, what the hell were we thinking? Thinking we could talk about wrestling every week.
Yeah, we don't have the energy for that.
When now all we talk about is New Jack and the Illuminati. Like, what?
Especially, like, this is, like, a wrestling podcast where, like, I for sure, like, I do not really watch wrestling anymore, so.
You and I confirmed almost every week have not watched anything.
Hey, I have my what the hell are they thinking moment. What? Tucker's heel turn. What the yes. hell were they thinking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why did they do that?
Especially when there's literally zero follow up to that.
Yeah,
because they split up the brands.
Like the blow off to that feud was Tucker and Otis brawling in the back immediately after the match, and then that was the end of the feud.
Yeah,
that was the feud.
Yeah, there was nothing. There was no follow up.
I don't know. There's so many fucking shitty. Well, I'm gonna say, I made this sound weird, but I think it's when they debuted Keith Lee and just changed his gear and made him wear a skirt.
Changed
his
gear.
Gave him generic rock music. Like, what the fuck?
And then didn't we play like jump back and forth with their music like his music three times?
Well, they kind of cock tease now, and where they have like the same beginning and
they got me excited, and then it turns to this generic rock, and I'm like, this ain't it, gee. this is not what it's supposed to be. I think that one's it for me.
All right, and I'm gonna close it out. Like, I am going to like go with Jules's tradition of just burying ourselves. I will go with Massive Damage booking me in a singles match. Like, what the fuck is he thinking there?
Like, why was that presented as an option?
Keep me far away. Have me take a little bit of heat for a couple minutes and get me the fuck out of there. Like, that is the best use of your time when booking me.
Your singles match was good, though.
You're too kind.
Just like I'm with the depth of our roster, that just rose, somehow was an idea that rose to the top. And it happened.
Math PJC versus Propane WrestleMania 37.
Gonna be a low selling WrestleMania.
Hey, to be fair, our shows in the summer, we moved more tickets than WrestleMania boys, so you know.
Yeah, we did.
That's on the back there.
Yeah.
We moved more tickets than WWE did all year at the return show.
Yep.
I think Crowder and Propane is a Talking Choppa Mania match for sure. which while we're putting over Talking Choppa Mania 2, I'm just gonna go ahead and just like if we get a Talking Choppa Mania 3, the Family Jewels is open for bookings. Just putting that out there.
No, it's just trying to get that over.
Let us live the dream. Live the dream. If the second coming, and I mean that heavy-handedly, of the Family Jewels happens at Talking Choppa Mania 3, that is, I can die happy.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, did we all get our moments in?
I think so.
I thought T.Y. froze there, but I think he's finally... We're at the hour 25 mark, and he's just like, he's checked out. He's like, I can't do this shit anymore.
To be fair, like, we are only about 90 minutes. Oh, no. Yeah, we're 90 minutes.
About half an hour into this podcast, I go brain dead.
Nah. Yeah, you know what T.Y. was doing?
And he shows up every week.
He was pretending he was frozen. You say, you know what, maybe if I like stay still, they'll think I'm like gone and they'll just ignore me.
T.Y.'s gonna like start doing the podcast and then just like put a cardboard cut on himself and just kind of drift away.
Just walk away. All right, there you have it, folks. That is our 2020 year in review. That is the first ever Daddies in the Bank. Tell us all how you feel. Put your votes out there. Download this wherever you download your podcasts, whether you're listening, whether you're tuning in on YouTube, whether you're checking in through Podbean, through Backbreaker Media, whether you hung out live with us. Make your presence known. Let's make this feel like a big deal. Make PJC keep underlining that.
That's right. He invested in a whiteboard. We have to make it work.
I didn't invest in shit. This was a Christmas present.
I love that it's a Melissa and Doug whiteboard, too. Like it's.
Oh, it is. All right. So I think that's going to wrap it up for tonight. Thank you, everybody that tuned in. This was quite fun, not having to talk about shitty current wrestling. We got to talk about 2020 shitty wrestling.
Yeah, right? Like maybe we can start having a little bit more themed. I've got some content ideas for the new year that I'm sure you'll all hate, and I'll force on you anyway.
So what are anybody want to plug the goings on for the week? T.Y., Blake, anything going on in the next 7 days?
No.
Ah, good. Thank you.
Just a flat no.
Good job, T.Y.
T.Y. does nothing except appear on this podcast.
Absolutely
that is,
nothing. I am a complete waste of space, but that's...
Blake,
that's
you got to be nearing the end of your Pokemon journey, right?
Yes, I am. I think I might finish that tomorrow on my Twitch channel, The Blake Cannon. I still strongly...
Nobody watches that shit.
...strongly dislike you all. However, I do thank you for tuning into this episode of the Dad Bod Squad Pod. And while you're still listening to this awful piece of shit production, I thank you.
Damn it.
I still hate you.
That was weird. That was like the most backhanded. That being said, Blake, can you just start doing ASMR of insulting people? Like, it's just like this dulcet, like melodic tone behind you, and it's just you slinging insults at people.
So
yeah, I find you all to be more repulsive than ketchup chips.
Yeah, can you talk about ketchup chips again for 2 seconds here?
Yeah, all right, that is the end of the podcast, everybody. I don't want to hear Blake talk about ketchup chips, because then he'll go on, and you blocked him.
Ketchup chips are in a box.
There we go. I had to do that for you, Jupiter Vision. Got to mute Blake there.
And that's the end of the podcast,
Jupiter.
Everybody. Thank you.
Poppin' Jupiter.
Blake Cannon.
Muting Blake!
Blake, all right, thanks everybody for tuning in. Have a great night, everybody. As always, we shall see you next week.